Welcome and thanks for joining us. My guests today are Amir Boland, the Federal Customer Experience Lead at the Office of Management and Budget, and Andy Lewandowski, the Digital Experience Advisor to the Federal CIO, also at the Office of Management and Budget. Thanks both to you for being here.
Thanks for having
Thank
us.
Thank you.
And a lot to unpack for a busy year that was for all things customer experience. Just looking back, what do you see as some of the federal government's top achievements, top highlights in delivering better experiences to the public? Amira, let's start with you.
Yeah, it's been a really exciting year. I think, you know, just last week we celebrated the 2-year anniversary of both the President's Management Agenda and the CX Executive Order being signed by the President. And I think one of the things that's been really exciting for me, at least, is looking at the very concrete things that agencies have delivered. So you saw the IRS last year reduced average wait time from 28 minutes to 3 minutes at their contact center. CMS and HUD have both done really interesting things with rules and regulations to reduce forms, submission requirements that people have to provide as they're applying for a benefit. And then you have SSA that completely redesigned their website to be focused around tasks that people are trying to complete. So those are all, you know, seemingly small in some components, but really meaningful and concrete for people to feel. And for me personally also, you know, this is the fifth year that I've been at OMB, that I came over to work and build out this portfolio on customer experience. And I think we've really proved that this isn't a flavor of the month. Andy and I have both been doing this work for 3 presidential administrations now. And I think, you know, we've seen that agencies have opted into having customer experience as their agency priority goal. They have, you know, built out teams at more than 10 federal agencies. And so I think it's like we're really starting to see this take hold and be business as usual.
That's right.
And Andy, on the digital side of things, you guys are likewise very busy. Just looking back, what do you look back on as the most impactful things?
Sure. Well, just a few months ago, the Office of the Federal Chief Information Officer released flagship digital experience guidance, OMB Memorandum M2322, delivering a digital-first public experience. For viewers and listeners, you can go to whitehouse.gov, search digital, and it's the top search result. And what this guidance does is it has codified essentially a decade of really terrific human-centered design, digital-first delivery work across our civic tech community and across federal agencies. It includes more than 100 agency actions and requirements for things that we know are working for the American people and other members of the public who interact or transact with the federal government each year. So our office is really focused on helping agencies begin to implement that across the government. As far as accomplishments over the past year before we released this memorandum, login.gov, the federal government shared services sign-on, single sign-on solution run through our partners at the General Services Administration. GSA reported recently that over 70 million user accounts have been created. And something that we're really focused on in partnership with the MIRA's terrific team who manage our high impact service providers is making sure government services are available and accessible to all members of the public. So with login.gov, we are now offering in-person identity verification at more than 18,000 US post offices across the 50 states. So I just love that. It's digital first, but not digital only. And the impact is tremendous because imagine a world where more and more federal websites and services are just requiring one email address or phone number and one account to access those same services. So terrific work there with our partners at GSA. And then we have our Technology Modernization Fund. My boss, our federal CIO, Claire Martirana, is the chairwoman of the TMF board and created a $100 million customer experience and digital experience allocation to really help turbocharge digital service delivery across our federal agency. So as an example, the National Transportation Safety Board received a TMF investment that's gonna help centralize data around accidents and help local municipalities better respond to the needs of their local communities. We have the Department of Interior's Bureau of Land Management. We're helping them digitize through a TMF investment all of the land records, which have been on paper, you know, for more than a century. And then, of course, Department of Veterans Affairs, which is one of our customer experience and digital service leaders in the federal government. They received a TMF investment to help them digitize forms even faster so that we're not digitizing forms in bespoke ways in small program offices, but we're taking a holistic enterprise view. So ton of terrific work across federal agencies. It's been a big year.
It certainly has, and great to hear that you guys are both working together on the digital and the analog side.
That's
to
right.
really make sure that everything's working, hand in hand there. You guys mentioned a really important part of all of this, which is the high impact service providers. I know that OMB is, of course, the lead there for all of those HISPs out there delivering on those most impactful public experiences out there. Amira, as far as the those HISPs and what they've been doing and how that's an effective mechanism to drive that kind of change, how have you seen that be an effective model?
Absolutely, and I want to brag on TSA right now, because I think with the holidays, everyone has different travel. We just talked about, we all have travel planned. This has been their busiest year on record. 7 of the top 10 highest volume passenger days, so we're talking close to 3 million people in their over 20-year history, have been in this year alone. So more people are traveling than ever. TSA has these performance standards of hitting either 29 minutes or less for their standard security line, or 10 minutes or less for their pre-check line. And they have hit that on average above 98% of the time across all airports in the country. But they're a really great story of how they've built out this customer experience capacity and then responded to what they've been learning. So in 2018, they were designated one of our original high impact service providers. In 2019, they did their first ever designated, compliant with OMB 11 customer feedback survey, and they learned many things, one of which is that people really didn't understand when they were being, when they had to go to secondary screening, like their bag came off of the conveyor belt, what was going on, how long would it take, why did they get selected, those types of things. And so they saw in their customer feedback data that was a big pain point. Immediately, the team that they've now invested in and built and hired great people on put into their CX action plan that they were going to do a training for officers on how to explain that to someone, and how to, if someone gets frustrated, how do you handle that, and how do you talk with them, and what do you do to convey confidence and all of that. They put it in their action plan. They started implementing it. It was optional at first. Mm-hmm. It is now part of every new hire, every officer training, so they've achieve that. They had so many people show up because they realized that was a thing that officers too weren't sure what to do or how to handle it. They just got the data back from their 2023 survey in more airports, more sample size. They saw an over 20% jump in people's understanding of why they were going to secondary. And the thing that they're most proud of is that 94% of people are confident in TSA officers to keep our air travel safe, and 93% satisfied with their security screening experience. So that is such a great story of they started collecting customer feedback, they responded to it, they designed, they scaled that solution, and now they're seeing the impact of that in their data. They got to brief their administrator on this survey, they got to brief the 16 security directors of the airports that they conducted the field survey in. And so that's the type of transformation that we're trying to have happen with all 35 of these HISPs, now 38. I think so many other organizations, including CBP, other folks at within the DHS infrastructure, have attended that TSA briefing of their survey, and I'm so excited to see other HISPs, replicate that story.
That's such a great example of user-centered design, incorporating that feedback, and delivering better services as a result.
Yeah.
Andy, over to you. You were talking about M2322 and delivering those digital-first experiences. Now, of course, the public, they are expecting those services to be available online. They're expecting them to be responsive on smartphones. And that's increasingly where the public is looking for these services. In terms of delivering that digital-first experience, what goes into that? What are agencies in the year ahead really going to have to do to make that digital-first experience possible?
Sure. Before I answer your question, I just want to state on the record, expectations are higher than ever for digital-first experiences. The public is now ordering grocery delivery on a regular basis, and they're sitting at their office desks in the office at work, and they're tracking where their groceries are, who's delivering it. They get a picture, in many cases, of the person delivering their groceries. Then they get a picture of where it's been delivered, so they make sure that they delivered it to the right stoop. We are reserving vacations online. We're changing airline tickets in real time. through our mobile experiences. So that's the public experience in the consumer space on a daily basis. And then the public comes to government, and there's a gap. So fundamentally, what we are doing in OMB across federal customer experience and digital delivery is we're trying to close that gap. So what we're starting with is data, because you cannot manage what you can't measure. In the memorandum, M2322, we have immediate agency actions, and what we're asking agencies to do is inventory all of your public-facing websites, products, digital experiences, so we know what currently exists. And then we're going to provide guidance on, well, what actually makes sense to invest in to optimize those digital experiences. Digital is not always the answer. At the Veterans Affairs Department a few years ago, there was some research done around wayfinding when veterans and their spouse caregivers or other caregivers would drive up to one of the 150 or so VA hospitals, medical centers for their appointments, and they would walk through the front door of the lobby and they couldn't figure out where to go. Guess what? It wasn't a new website or a really expensive signage design sprint that solved the solution. It was a human being standing at the front, a VA employee with a red coat, kind of like the Walmart greeter. And they would make eye contact with the veteran and their family and caregivers and say, "Welcome to the VA Medical Center. How can I help you find the right office or appointment?" So we need to start with data and research to really help agencies invest in the right ways. Technology can make extraordinary improvements in many cases. And in other cases, it's going to be service design and improving the way that in-person or call centers respond to the needs of the public. What OFCIO will be doing in the coming calendar year is launching the Digital Experience Council, which will be a subcommittee of the Federal CIO Council. So this will be a new interagency body that's going to advise on the coordination of government-wide implementation. And this is not a one-time memo. This is a visionary document that says the public needs a digital-first government experience, fundamentally. We are also helping agencies figure out their funding through the annual budget process through OMB, through Technology Modernization Fund. And then our team, we have a terrific digital experience team inside OFCIO. We are working really hard on establishing an initial set of digital experience indicators. So these are going to be indicators that tell us, are agencies beginning to implement the requirements in the memo? So it's some oversight. And then once we get these indicators out there, then we're going to move towards optimization. So a terrific example of this is search. In the law that Congress passed 5 years ago, the 21st Century Integrated Digital Experience Act, it says that all websites need to have on-site search. So we can use a product that exists called the Site Scanning Program at GSA to automatically scan a government website to show, to tell us, to indicate, is there on-site search? So that's step one. In the future, we want to then ask ourselves, how can we optimize the experience? So is the user who uses that on-site search actually getting to the right information and the right tools and services? So we actually really think that this digital experience indicators work, which is a data-first implementation approach, is going to really change the game with agencies and how they implement this guidance long-term.
All right. A lot of efforts in the work here.
That's right.
We're going to have to circle back to some of that after a short break here. My guests today are Amira Boland, the Federal Customer Experience Lead at the Office of Management and Budget, and Andy Lewandowski, the Digital Experience Advisor to the Federal CIO over at OMB. I'm your moderator, Jory Heckman, on Excellent, Equitable, and Secure Customer Experience, a closer look at high-impact service providers, sponsored by Carahsoft on Federal News Network. Welcome back to Excellent, Equitable, and Secure Customer Experience, a closer look at high-impact service providers sponsored by Carahsoft on Federal News Network. My guests today are Amira Bolin, the Federal Customer Experience Lead at the Office of Management and Budget, and Andy Lewandowski, the Digital Experience Advisor to the Federal CIO at OMB as well. I'm your moderator, Jory Heckman. And to circle back here, another, I think, big focus of all things CX in government has been the idea of tackling this by life experiences, that for a lot of things that the public cares about, it's not just necessarily the domain of any one agency, it's all of them working hand in hand to get the job done. Amira, how has that been going, and just how has that been an effective driver of improvements in CX?
Yeah, the life experiences work is honestly one of the reasons I come to work every day. I think this was sort of our white whale working in government for a couple of years of how do you actually effectively get agencies to work together on service delivery, right? Our government has been created over 200 years through a series of appropriations committees that turn into agencies, which turns into programs, different IT shops. Like, we have different levels of government that are implementing services. And so coming up with a framework that really helps that effectively work together as a service delivery system is incredibly complicated. We don't even have shared calendars to schedule a meeting across people that are working on the same team, right? So lots of little bugs like that, all the way to, you know, does our program have the authority to be working with this other program on this project? But, you know, the president said when he signed the executive order, you shouldn't have to know what to know. Right. And so a new mom should not be figuring out when, you know, she has a new child and is experiencing poverty and incredibly, you know, recovering from a birth, have to figure out, oh, USDA funds WIC and, you know, Department of Labor has these workplace protections and, you know, Health and Human Services has Medicaid and CHIP and other different things, health coverage options. And so, you know, too often people are navigating this complex maze. And so we created this framework to take on this kind of long haul work, right? We had deputy secretaries sign charters up at the start that said, this is going to be complicated. Sometimes the answers are not going to be clear or also in the interest of my agency, but are in the interest of the American public. And this is going to be the long-term kind of effort that we're going to be engaged in. So there's not that pressure to have a quick win tomorrow, right? And so because of that, we've had these teams be able to work together in really interesting and new ways, and it is delivering wins. So, you know, we had the public health emergency was ended, and so there was a whole refresh of Medicaid enrollees having to re-enroll and recertify. And we had a team that was already working in that space and thinking about how do we better verify people's income at the state level, right, so that they continue to be enrolled in Medicaid if they need that coverage and are eligible. And because we had a team there ready to work on that and already thinking about working with, you know, across programs with SNAP and Medicaid, they quickly caught an error in many state systems and are now on track to deliver more than, you know, 2 million automatic renewals by helping and providing that technical assistance to states. And so, you know, we also have a pilot program looking at providing a newborn supply kit, like many other countries do, and has been successful in those countries. And we've piloted that in areas where, you know, we have high maternal vulnerability index scores, and more than 3,000 kits have been deployed. We've actually, you know, in each of these pilot projects, we've embedded some type of evaluation and seen that not only are we increasing trust, in many cases, we're increasing trust at a higher rate within populations that are historically underserved and distrustful of government. And also, women who receive those kits are reporting that they're more likely to work with that community-based organization that provided that kit to them, our delivery partners on the ground, to then get connected to you know, bigger, more meaningful long-term supports like federal programs that can help their family. So it's been an incredible effort to see people just hacking through the bureaucracy in really productive ways and delivering results that we're measuring.
That's fantastic to hear. Andy, when I think about those improved digital services, I think accessibility is one of those foundational elements to get right before anything else kind of really goes on there. I know that's been a focus and that's been a call out in delivering those digital first experiences, but how does it get done and what's the focus there going forward?
Sure. Making sure that government information services is accessible to all people of all abilities, it really is job number one. And it's one of the reasons that I love working in the federal government and in the public sector space. We have different forcing functions, and one of those forcing functions is that no, we're actually not going to move everything to online because we have folks who don't have high-speed internet. We have senior citizens who actually have low technical literacy and would prefer to call somebody, or they would prefer to go to one of our 1,200 Social Security field offices across the 50 states. What I love about what the U.S. Congress did in passing the 21st Century IDEA is they essentially said in statute, digital is the default, but all services must also be offered in at least one traditional channel. So even the Congress understands with their constituents that digital is not going to solve all of our problems necessarily. However, technology really does power the multi-channel experience. It powers the printers that print the paper forms. It powers the technology behind the call centers. And it powers our VA medical centers, our Social Security field offices, immigration centers, et cetera. As far as the accessibility guidance, as far as the digital experience guidance and accessibility, accessibility is one of the cross-government pillars of the guidance. So it's embedded in everything that we do. I mentioned earlier that accessibility would be part of our initial set of digital experience indicators. And there's so much more that we can do. We can actually write automated scripts that tab through web applications, for example, a digital form, to make sure that someone who maybe uses a screen reader can actually get to the submit button and transact so that they're not stuck. So there's a lot that we can do with technology to make sure that we're compliant. But it goes beyond just compliance. This really is also about service design and delivery and experience. And that's what I love about this team in OMB. We're a cross-functional team. We have our superpowers in technology and service design and budget and management and oversight. And we're just asking basic questions of the public. Like, is this working for you? Okay. You know, like, do you want to fill out this form digitally? Or do you actually want to just give your answers verbally to an employee or to someone over the phone? So government has to be accessible to all people. It's not just through websites.
Well, I think building on that, we talked a little bit about administrative burdens. Mm. But, you know, I think it's just, as Andy said, our teams at OMB, at the Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs, the CX team, the CIO's office, are all providing reaffirming and coordinated guidance rather than competing guidance.
That's right.
Or different, you know, laundry lists of compliance activities or to-do items. And so I think for agencies, we're also trying to reduce the burden on them of, like, you know, we're trying to speak with one voice and have the similar priorities. So in the administrative burden reduction space, you know, you have OIRA issued incredible guidance that we collaborated on closely with them on how do you calculate burden, how do you think about a more holistic estimate of people's total cost that goes into interacting with government. You have the digital experience guidance that, you know, affirms all of that, but online and, you know, multi-channel options. And then you have all the customer experience guidance and the executive order, and we also have the executive order on advancing equity and further advancing equity. And all of those are like a coordinated effort that we see coming from multiple angles, but really trying to take on the same problem, right?
Yeah, no, it's great to see that cross-discipline approach, but making sure that everyone's on the same page and that they're getting their arms around this problem in a really effective way. You know, one thing that's really impressed on me is that this is, you know, always a thing that's iterative, that's keeping up with the technology of the day. Andy, to circle back to the technology, the digital piece of things, you know, as we look ahead to the year 2024 and beyond, what kind of tools, what kind of technology are you guys looking at to kind of further accelerate the work that's already been done?
Sure. Jory, this may sound a little counterintuitive, but we're actually focusing initially on low-code and no-code solutions. We don't need to spend tens of millions of dollars digitizing a form if the process is really bad for adjudicating that form. So we're working really closely with our partners at the Technology Transformation Services right now on government-wide actions from the Digital Experience Memorandum to take existing products and shared services that they have to the next level, and also to research and design new standards and tools that all federal agencies can use so that we are creating a rising tide to lift all boats. So here's a great example. We have a terrific open source product called the US Web Design System. It's the front end framework, you know, static code, HTML, CSS. Everything is fully accessible and Section 508 compliant. In our guidance, we've mentioned that we will also be working to update federal website standards. And this is where it connects into our interagency or cross-agency life experience work. As the public moves online from a search engine to Medicare.gov, to SocialSecurity.gov for a life experience, like I'm approaching retirement, I'll be reaching the age of 65 soon. There should be some consistent standards, visual design, brand standards, navigation. Maybe the sign-in button should be in the top right corner on both of those government websites. Those are not expensive solutions at all. Those are low-code solutions. So we're starting there, and we already have a few pilots going on, and we're gonna ask members of the public at some of our top agencies, like, is this working for you? Like, when you search for information about Medicare on a third-party search engine like Google or Bing, do you know it's official government information? It's the wild, wild west out there, Jory, especially with artificial intelligence entering the scene about a year ago. And then when you move from that search result to an official government website, like,
how do you know?
Are you making that connection? Is it real? And then when that federal website's referring you to another federal website, how do you know that that's real? So we're taking a look at that. So we've got the web design system, search.gov, which is a free shared service for that on-site search experience. The digital analytics program. We can't manage what we can't measure. It is a requirement and has been a requirement for 8 years from OMB that all federal websites that are .gov and .mil use the digital analytics program so that we can measure digital metrics and have real-time data on performance. We have the site scanning program and then digital.gov. What I love and what I would encourage all of your viewers and listeners to do is subscribe to some of the newsletters on digital.gov because that's the place to start for the entire federal workforce, our federal contractors and consultants, anyone working in the public sector. Digital.gov is the place to start for digital-first public experience delivery.
Yeah.
And what I love about that is building on that trust that, you know, making sure that when people go online that they know whether something is a legitimate .gov or not.
Yeah.
You know, to bring that back to the analog space, Amira, you know, I know that's a theme across government services and the improvements that are going on. As we look ahead again to 2024 and beyond, how do you see these customer experiences that the public encounters as this, you know, make or break moment for better trust in government?
Yeah, it doesn't matter what people are doing, whether they're looking for vaccine safety information or applying for their disability benefits or going through a TSA security checkpoint, like, we have to own that moment. And as Andy said, when they do come to interact with government and we fall short of expectations of what they've come to expect in every other aspect of their life, we create a trust gap. And so what we're trying to do is, you know, I think in 2024, a huge focus is on we need to deliver on what we committed to. And so last week, all of our high impact service providers released their 2024 CX action plans of specific service improvements grounded in their customer research that they need to take next year. And making sure that we, from our perch at OMB, are doing everything we can to barrier bust for them so that they can do that. We also want to make sure that every single one of our high impact service providers is collecting post-transaction trust. We've got to about, you know, over two-thirds are now doing that and collecting feedback, and we need to get all the way, particularly with our new three high-impact service providers. And I think on the life experiences front, we really want to show that government can deliver collective solutions that we've designed with them, with the people, with the public. And so it's going to be a big year for us moving from, you know, small-scale pilots to scaling those pilots, as well as, you know, institutionalizing what we've learned from that of how agencies can better be working together.
All right. Well, a lot to be excited for the year ahead, a lot to stay tuned for. Thanks again to both my great guests, Amir Boland, the Federal Customer Experience Lead at the Office of Management and Budget, and Andy Lewandowski, the Digital Experience Advisor to the Federal CIO at OMB. I'm your moderator, Jory Heckman, and you're listening to Federal News Network. For more on this discussion, visit federalnewsnetwork.com and search HISP, H-I-S-P.